Lord, once again, as we get to open your word, help us to thoroughly understand your kingdom, to know better who you are and how you work in us and through us. We're grateful, God, for all of the parables that you shared through Matthew in this particular section of Scripture, and we ask that we can make good sense of them. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like, and then there's a little ellipsis there. The kingdom of heaven is a section here that pretty much the whole chapter. There's already been this parable about the sower that sowed seed, and the seed fell in different places and different types of soil, and Jesus explained all of that. And then starting in verse 24, he's still kind of on the farmer bent, but there will be some other shorter parables, and all of these parables kind of tie together and make sense better together than they would just individually and alone. So let's do our best to tie them back. And starting in verse 24, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and you're going to see all of these parables are starting with, "The kingdom of heaven is like." So there's a theme. What's the theme, everybody?
The kingdom of heaven.
Kingdom of heaven, okay? So, kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and left. And when the wheat sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also became evident. So you can kind of get the picture. There's this big field. Good seed was sown. It starts to sprout and grow up, and the workers are realizing there's a lot of bad seed in here. You might expect a few weeds in a field, but not to the extent that this was going on. Obviously, some evil had taken place. So the slaves, the guy's men of the landowner, came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" And he said to them, an enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" And I think most of us, it's like if you see weeds, you want to go and get those weeds out of there. Now, I don't want to do that so badly that I actually get down on my knees and start pulling weeds, but I know they don't belong there. Okay, so we'd like to remove them. But he said no. Now remember, this is a parable about the kingdom, so get your mind thinking in that direction. "No, while you are gathering up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the weeds and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So at the end, there's going to be a separation time. He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 sata of flour until it was all leavened." Did I skip one? Thank you. I must have clicked twice. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a person took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is fully grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches." So you've got that, and then the next one, the leaven, is very similar. These are kind of sister parables, where little leaven and a sata of flour, it's like 48 pounds of flour. You think about a 50-pound bag of flour. How many of you, when you're going to go bake bread, you pull out a 50-pound bag and make that your base recipe, and you're doing that? Funny thing is, in Old Testament scripture, when the Lord visited Sarah and Abraham, that's the recipe Sarah used. She went and got a sata of flour and started baking bread for this. And you know, oftentimes in Scripture, that's the measurement that was used. we think that, that we, you know, we bake bread, we do a loaf or two. That, wow, look at all this work that we did. And it's like they were doing this all the time. Going back to the mustard seed, you've got a tiny little seed, and it gets planted, and then in the mustard tree almost, it's not technically going to be as big as some of the trees around here, but for a garden plant, it gets large enough that birds are nesting in it, and it's growing. When we're talking about the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like the mustard seed, it's like the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is something that's going to be in the world, in the community, and it's going to grow, and it's going to prosper, and it's going to permeate through everything around it. Oftentimes when we look at leaven, there's a warning in Scripture that it talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. The part here where it's saying the kingdom of heaven is like, it's saying it's like leaven. This leaven is going to be kingly, good leaven that permeates the entire recipe. Where the leaven of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy permeated every part, every aspect of who they were and what they were doing. And when God says beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, it's like don't let that kind of leaven grow in you. But this leaven, godly, heavenly leaven, it is definitely something that you want to prosper. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak anything to them without a parable. This was so that what was spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. And here Matthew keeps steering us back to Old Testament Scripture, to Hebrew Scripture. I will open my mouth in parables. I will proclaim things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, probably Peter's mother-in-law's house. And his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. So they're going back to the first one we read about today. And Jesus explains it to them. He said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's what he called himself. When he identified himself, Son of God, Son of Man, that's who he was. So he's the one that's planting good seed. The field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So all the different parts there. And you can kind of see the angels are going to come at the end of the age, and they're going to separate the wheat and the weeds and appropriately deal with each. So just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Reminds me of some of the video games I used to play that the term let God sort them out. I don't know if you ever played Duke Nukem, and it's just like, you know, shoot everybody and then let God sort them out. It's kind of, you know, we know that at the end of the age God's going to do the appropriate sorting. We have a tendency to want to decide who's in heaven and who's not, and who's following God and who's not, and we want to start doing all the separating as we're walking through life. I'm grateful that God has got the patience to put up with sinners and wickedness to the point where he can call us to him and cause us to have changed hearts. And God's going to know the appropriate time and the correct action that needs to be done. When we think about the kingdom of heaven, in Scripture it talks about the kingdom of heaven is within you. And we are experiencing and living kingdom of heaven right now. There's going to be eternal kingdom that we get to be a part of later. But right now, we're in that part before the end time when the angels come and separate and burn people. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ears, let him hear. And he continues on, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells everything that he has and buys that field. So the concept here that we're looking at, the kingdom of heaven, it's like you're all in. It's not something that you just kind of tiptoe in and try to stay in the world while you're also in the kingdom. You make a decision. You're 100% devoted and focused. Jesus talked about, if you're going to really follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Just be all in. Don't do this part way. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold everything that he had and bought it. It's priceless. It's something that you want to be 100% devoted to and lay everything else aside. He sold everything, just like the one with the field. And it's... Do we see that the kingdom of God is a treasure? Do we treasure within our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they pulled it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. Again, we're not necessarily going to be the ones that understand the difference between the good and the bad. We can kind of have some basic understanding of it. We can look at something and saying that action is terrible, that action is evil, that action is bad. But if we were going to say, for instance, anybody that's a murderer, no way that they could be a follower of Christ. There's no way that they could make it into heaven. And then we look at Scripture and how many books of the Bible were written by people that were identified as murderers. First five for sure. Moses, when he was in Egypt, he killed a man. And later he killed another man. And he realized that it was wrong. It took him a while. And he fled. He ran because he wanted to make sure and avoid judgment. And then God calls him out of this distant land, and we have the first five books of Scripture based on the words of a converted murderer, somebody that Jesus loved enough, God loved enough to pull out of that wickedness and into goodness and into light. Think about King David. The Psalms are just a beautiful place to turn and know the heart of God. And yet, if we were going to eliminate anybody that committed the sin of adultery or murder, David wouldn't make the list. And then the Apostle Paul, with most of the New Testament, of a large chunk of the New Testament. And he was pulling people out of their homes and either having them arrested and put in prison, or he would stand there and assist as they were stoned to death. And yet God touched him and changed his heart. So if we don't recognize that God is the one that does the changing, and he's the one that does the identifying, and he's going to determine who is a person after his own heart, we could, in our human wisdom, eliminate an awful lot of people that God has called his own. If we think back at our own past and our own experience in life, many of us have done things that we're not proud of, and in fact things that we're fully ashamed of. And yet God is willing to use us and change us and cause us to be his own if we allow him. And so we look at this and it's like, okay, this dragnet's pulling all sorts of things in. The bad gets thrown away, the good gets kept. I can see that in our own lives as well, that if we can find ways to eliminate the bad and focus on the good. That the passages that we read in the responsive reading earlier was, you know, whatever's right, pure, just, holy, excellent, things of good repute. We're to focus on, to think on the goodness And where does all that come from? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. So we know that when there's good things in our life, we credit Jesus for that. And when there's bad things, we thank Him that He can take that and He can bury it in the deepest sea and separate it as far as the east is from the west. He's much more forgiving than we are. And even He's much more forgiving of us than we are of ourselves. How many of us allow the enemy to get that little tape going in our minds, and it's like continuously playing, you're not worthy, you're not worthy, and whatever, and then all the specific things that the enemy can bring up. And sometimes we allow our voices to be the enemy in other people's lives, bringing back things that they've done wrong. And it's a tendency we have to not forget the sins of those that are around us. Somehow it makes us feel like we've got the upper hand if we can point out the wrong that others have done. And I'm so glad that God is not that kind of God, that He takes us and says, yeah, that's gone. You're accepted in the Beloved. You are declared righteous. You are wearing robes of righteousness based on your sins have been put on the cross with Jesus, paid for, covered, separated from you. And then think on those good things and have that inner peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. That's where we want to walk and live. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and remove the wicked from among the righteous. They will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, it's when God's time comes, there will be a separation. It's going to be too late for some, and we're not the ones that decide that. So Jesus turns to His disciples and says, have you understood all these things? They said to Him, yes. I'm not sure if they really did, but you know, to a degree they did, I'm sure. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure new things and old. When Jesus had finished these parables, He departed from there. And He came to His hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, with the result that they were astonished and said, where did this man acquire this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is his mother not called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man acquire all these things? And they took offense at Him. They're astonished at how wonderful His teaching is, but because they knew Him as a child and they knew His family and they could see that this is just a human, in their minds they're taking offense. It's like he couldn't possibly be anything more special, because we're not special. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not dishonored except in his hometown and in his own household. He even had family members that were putting him down at this point. And He did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. It doesn't mean that He wasn't capable of it. He chose not to do many miracles there because they weren't going to pay attention and listen anyway. They'd heard His words, they'd seen miracles, and they still were writing Him off. It's like, yeah, you're just Joseph's kid. We know you. You couldn't be anything special. Lord, I ask that as we think through these kingdom parables, that we can recognize Your kingdom is at work, whether we see it or not. And in fact, many times, even when we don't see it, you're the one that's prospering and moving and changing in our lives and those lives of the people around us. Help us to set aside those things that are not worthy of You and to concentrate fully on all the goodness and the things that You have just poured onto us and into us and through us. And we just ask, Jesus, that we can be the light that shines forth Your kingdom. thank you for the opportunity to be a part of something that is big and growing bigger and bigger and bigger. I hope that the leaven within us won't be the leaven of the Pharisees and hypocrisy, but it'll be the leaven of the kingdom that grows goodness and light wherever we go. And I just ask that you and your word will prosper. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace.